I'm going to read one verse, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. You been tempted today? How many times? I bet you've been tempted way more than you recognize that you've been tempted. Temptations come in ever-increasing waves. When you first get saved, you think maybe you're tempted maybe once a week. Then as you grow in grace, you come to understand that it's probably more frequent. Maybe daily. Maybe. And then after a while, you realize you live in a world, an atmosphere, a kingdom of oppressive temptation all the day of our life. This world's not friendly toward us, is it? And probably the things that we think are innocent aren't so innocent after all. We talk about being conformed in the image of Christ, and one of those areas that we're to be conformed in is groaning. Groaning in this body of death that we have. Groaning for the deliverance. Groaning for the redemption that our Lord will accomplish in our lives. And that groaning can take varying degrees and varying measures, but it can be painful. It's a painful thing to realize that you're not as strong as you think you are. You're not as smart as you thought you were. You're not as mature in the Lord as you perhaps thought that you were. And that you're not as strong in resisting temptation as maybe your understanding dictated to you. Temptation comes to us in varied packages. Some of those packages are pretty, some of them are ugly, some of them are neat, some of them are tidy. Some of them come with the promise of good for your soul. Some of them roar like a lion and tear your heart and exert power over your spirit. Popularity, life. Sometimes temptations come and they speak softly into your ear, like a wooing. Sometimes temptation comes, and usually when trial really hits us, usually the thing that the temptation says to us is, you're the only one in the world that's ever gone through this. I don't know if you've ever heard that. I've heard that voice before. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter himself is so helpful. Here's a man who did fall to temptation, but he says, 1 Peter 5 and verse 9, he says, your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. When you hear that sound that says you're unique or you're the only one that's going through such a thing or you're all alone in this, it's a lie. It's a lie. And yet, in some cases, it is so believable. What we need when temptation comes is deliverance. What we need is salvation. So people reach on the shelf of life to a multitude of solutions to try to overcome those temptations. Sometimes in America we choose pleasures. We choose entertainment. We use vacations, drugs. Sometimes in order to avoid a temptation we go to the mall to buy something. Materialism. And yet, brethren, there's only one solution. There's only one solution to our temptations. And it's not law, and it's not rules, and it's not standards, and it's not self-discipline, and it's not girding your life with certain disciplines. It's a person. It's a person, and I'm so thankful it is a person. How'd you like to deal with a code all the time? This is a person, living, existing, intimate, related, a high priest. It's Christ. And it says in verse 18 that He Himself, Hebrews 2, He Himself hath suffered being tempted. He is able. He is able. He is able to come and save us, deliver us. Now, what gave Him the ability to do this outside of His own deity was His humanity. You'll notice here, verse 14, He said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verily, He didn't take on Himself the nature of angels. He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, or because of this, in all things it behooved Him." He was under obligation to be made like unto His brethren. What we need in the midst of our temptations that are constant and daily is we need a high priest whose name is Jesus Christ. And we can go to Him because He Himself, verse 18, He Himself hath suffered being what? Tempted. He was tempted. Now, His temptations were not internal. He did not have a sin nature. But the temptations of life assaulted Jesus to such a measure that you and I can't even understand or comprehend. Have you ever felt alone? Jesus knew what that felt like. He was lonely. Have you ever been hungry without food? Jesus experienced hunger. Have you ever felt friendless? You know, He turned to His disciples. He said, "You are my friends." And there He was at Calvary. And where were they? Have you ever felt persecuted? Like people are after you? He knew what that was like. He knew what it was like to be poor, the afflictions of poverty. He didn't have a wardrobe of clothes. He didn't have a place to lay His head. He didn't have a cupboard full of food. He experienced that. He underwent that. Jesus knew what it was like to be tired. You ever been tired? Like, when have I not been tired? You know, His strength was amazing. He could minister all day. And I don't know if you understand this, but ministry to people is exhausting. He could minister all day, send His disciples off to get a nap, and then go up on a mountain and pray all night. I can only dream about doing something like that. And then walk on the water, fall asleep in the boat, get woke up, and say, "Peace, be still." You ever been tempted because you were overworked? Jesus was so overworked that His own family said He was a madman. You ever been tempted with frustration? He would look around at the Pharisees with anger because of their unbelief. You ever had to deal with unbelieving family? His own brethren didn't believe in him. He lived there in that home. How'd you like to have lived with Christ? And they didn't believe until after the resurrection. He knew what it was like to live in that type of family. He knew what it was like to be abandoned, didn't he? He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He understood. He knows the feeling of that. He knows the feeling of loneliness and of hunger and of friendlessness and persecution. He knows the feeling of poverty, of being tired, of being overworked. He knows the feeling of frustration. He knows what it's like to be in that unbelieving family or to be abandoned or to be misunderstood. He just looks at Philip and he says, Philip, I've been with you for 3 years and you still don't understand that when you see me, you see the Father. And this one, this last one here is one that I think we all have felt at times to varying degrees, but Jesus experienced the feeling of being a failure. If you ever have a chance to read Isaiah, the Son of God actually told God the Father that he had failed in his mission to draw Israel back to him. Brethren, when it says in verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to be a help to who? To you and to me. And he's the only one that can give that help in the midst of temptation. This word, the ability to succor, to come to the aid of one who cries for help. In other portions of our King James translation, it's just translated this way, help me. Have you ever been to that place where all you could say in your groaning before the Lord is, help me? He understands that type of feeling. He knows what you and I as believing people are going through. And not only does He understand what you and I are going through, because He Himself has suffered being tempted, but go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 15 when it says, you're to come boldly to the throne of grace because we have not, at this present moment, we do have a high priest which is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is co-suffering. He is suffering together with us with not just our weaknesses, but with the feeling of our weaknesses. Jesus has an emotional life. And we are one in Him, and He is one in us. He's able to deliver you from your fears. And one of our fears that we have, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 7, verse 14, he says, for then, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Brethren, when we're tempted and the feeling of that temptation comes to us, What makes us reluctant to go to the throne of grace to get the help that we need, and He's the only one that can help us, what holds us back is the fact that we feel a sense of condemnation. Because many times we've what? We succumb to that temptation. We've succumbed to that temptation. And sometimes more than what? More than once. And the thing that arises in your soul is this: how can I keep coming back to that throne of grace when it seems like I keep dealing with the same thing over and over and over again? Surely He's going to condemn me. Brethren, He isn't going to condemn you. Look at Hebrews again, chapter 4, verse 15. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but He was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, a sinner to a sinless one. You come boldly to that throne so that you can obtain mercy and grace. When you go to that throne and you petition Him and you say to Him, "Help me," He's not going to condemn you. What are you going to find? You're going to find mercy. You're going to find grace. You're going to find help in that time of need. He isn't going to lord over you like Zeus with thunderbolts. He's going to show compassion. One of the things I love about the Lord is that He hears the cry of His sheep, and He hears the cry of His lambs. You don't have to say all the words right, but you do have to have a right heart. A heart that says, "Help me." He's the only one, brethren, that has the ability to come to the aid of people who are in that position. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll conclude here. You know, there is so much to pray in our Bibles, and prayer lists are endless. And we're always encouraging one another to pray for one another. But I want to conclude tonight by encouraging you to pray for yourself. And I want you to know, in Matthew 6, in this model prayer, I want you to notice verse 13 at the end of that prayer. He says, you need to pray that you are not led into what? Into temptation. We are so easily led, aren't we? We're to pray for ourselves. There's only one person that can help us in our temptations, and that's Jesus, our high priest. And He is intimate because He Himself knows the feelings of those temptations, because He Himself has suffered, yet without sin. And He tells us, as believing people in this fallen world and our sinful flesh, He says, pray that you are not led into temptation, but that you are what? You are saved from evil. That's what being saved is. It's being delivered. We'll probably be amazed at all the times He did deliver us, and we thought we were just so smart. But brethren, the older I get in the Lord, the more I fear being tempted. I fear it because I'm so easily led to fall into it. We need to cultivate in our hearts a help me type of spirit. Because He hears prayers like that. Because He feels your feeling. And He is able to deliver you from it by His grace. Help in time of temptation. Let's pray.